This is DTC, Dudes Talking Comics. Here at DTC, we're a podcast dedicated to all things comics. Comic books, comic movies, and comic TV shows. In this episode, the dudes get together to discuss the Superior Spider-Man story series.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yo. Señoritas.
What's up, guys?
What's up, everyone?
Yo, what up?
Yeah, so we're going to be bringing everyone in a bonus episode this week.
I'm back in black.
Yeah, what?
I guess TK felt a little betrayed when we had our solo podcast.
I was like, yo, how can they talk about Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight without me?
Where's the one who put us on to that?
Nah, but it was great. Great conversations. I was listening. You know, I'm a fan of our own work. You get me?
Of course. No, I'm the same way. I figure we can just start putting out more content and stay a bit more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few ideas in the horizon as far as, like, you know, different kind of podcasts with different guests. And
yeah, you know, for sure. We'll expand the content and, you know, and yeah, it's going to be more consistent. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, today I wanted to really get into the Superior Spider-Man story arc, but one thing I had forgot, and we didn't speak in the last podcast as far as, like, news and trailers and stuff, was Spider-Man video game.
Oh, yeah, E3 just put it out there, huh?
Have you guys seen any of the footage or know anything about the game?
Oh, well, I've been following it since it's been, like, announced. So I saw all the little clips and all the little pictures and how Spidey suit's going to look before everything, and then the trailer dropped.
It seems like it's been in development for, like, a long time, right? A few years.
Yes.
Well, that's one of the problems with a game like that, is that they're so complex that they take a long time to develop. Yeah, I think I remember the Grand Theft Auto games would take so long to come out. But what do you think about a Spider-Man game like that? Since we did speak about the Batman Arkham games and how great they were, it seems like this is going to be similar to that.
What was the last Spider-Man game?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Was that the last video game that was made out? Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yep.
Like, I personally never played it, but was it good, or, like, what is this game based off?
I've been a fan of the Spider-Man game since, what was it, PlayStation 1? That had, like, Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, and
man, you don't remember the Maximum Carnage game from Genesis?
What? That's the classic, man.
I remember that Spider-Man game that you just crawl up the wall the whole time.
Yeah. There's
Game Boy. Is that it?
It's a game.
I was just like, what is going on here?
It was Game Boy, and then you go into certain windows and you get, like, special stuff.
It was so weird. It was worse than Rampage. Remember Rampage, the game that you just grab little people out the windows? I don't know, with the dinosaur. You guys played it. I know you guys played it.
What do you mean, you know, we played it? What you say?
No. Well,
no. He's saying you're old.
Oh, damn. My hair just turned all gray.
Angel's just a close second. But yeah, it was that game that had, like, three, like, monsters.
I know what King you're talking about. They're actually making a live movie with The Rock.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God, yo.
Dude, didn't you guys see the preview, the teaser? It's The Rock, and there's a giant gorilla and a giant wolf that flies. It's called Rampage.
Oh. I didn't know anything about that.
Honestly, The Rock got me to the point that I hate on him so bad, and I just don't like him anymore, honestly. Like, he's the only person that I literally hate on.
TK, hate is a strong word.
Well, I'm a strong man.
Right. You're gonna have to get past that hate when he's Black Adam.
Oh, word.
Black Adam these. Oh. Yeah. All right. Nah, it's all cool. He's cool. It's just, I feel like he just he got up to that point that he's rushing movies now. I don't know. It's just like,
I think you may agree, but like I feel like his movies are just like too, like extreme, like too over the top.
Yeah, like it's so CGI, and he doesn't even act that much. You guys remember when he first came out? He did like the Rundown, Walking Tall. Those movies were great.
Yeah.
He's pretty much plays the same character in every movie. He's a bigger jacked version of Ice Cube. Plays the same character in every movie.
Yeah, but The Rock's in that other like stratosphere level where he makes big movies every year.
Yeah, he's like so weird.
So you wouldn't like him as Black Adam then?
I don't know. The way he's doing now in the movies, I feel like they should hold it off just because DC's not doing well in the cinematic universe. So just to put like him into it, and I don't know how much effort, because I feel like the only effort he puts in is his body. And like, you get me? And then he's not a bad actor. It's that his movies now is all about action, and like there's so much CGI, like even like the lifeguard movie, what was that,
Baywatch? Yeah,
like the whole fire was so crazy, like CGI and stuff like that.
But you know what's my question? Why even watching Baywatch, the movie, with the
Rock? Because I'm a Baywatch fan. Yo, why you hating?
My man watched Baywatch.
You mean like the original Baywatch?
No, Baywatch, they made a reboot.
I know, but TK, you're saying a Baywatch fan? Like,
what, the was original? It Carmen Electra?
With Pamela Anderson and...
was it Pamela Anderson?
David Hasselhoff. Yeah.
Knight Rider.
Yeah. Yo, you know, when they're running on the beach, you know?
I feel you.
It was like my first, you know, introduction to, like, wow.
It's his first introduction.
Que es eso?
It's his first introduction to soft porn.
At this point, TK did not want to play with his Legos anymore.
I was like, what? Gargoyles?
Wow. Now,
but to get back on that Spider-Man games, I loved the Spider-Man games. I felt like they didn't go wrong. And if they did go wrong, it was like towards the like the story. Like Amazing Spider-Man 2, like, you know, that movie was just hard. Electro and everything like that. And they brought it to the video game. But the video game never got, the story never got to me. It's able to be like Spider-Man. The way you're able to be like Batman in Arkham Asylum, like, you know, going through the detective work, you know, actually being on top of a building, being, you know, nighttime, going to Crime Alley, all of that. Like, all of that part was like the best part. The storyline was great. Like,
well, that's why I think that's like the best version of Batman overall.
Yeah. That,
in the comics and in the movies and stuff, like, because of what you said, like, you know, a lot of times, especially in the movies, you miss out on his like detective skills and him, you know, figuring out problems or just getting more into detail with that. So in my opinion, the Arkham games are the best version of Batman. But and maybe this Spider-Man game could be like the best version of Spider-Man. Just the fact that it's an open world and you can, you know, just imagine just web slinging all over the city.
But you see, all of the games were like that.
Yeah.
The only thing that got me is probably like the story. And then, you know, with the trailer that just dropped, I don't know if you guys saw it. I think you put it up.
I saw it. It's when, like, it seems like all the villains are surrounding him.
Yeah.
It looks like he gets stabbed in the back and he's crawling towards the edge.
Like, Shocker breaks out all the villains and then, you know, they end up on the rooftop. And then he's like, oh, my God. I wouldn't believe it's you.
What do you feel about his costume, though?
With the white?
I don't like that white part.
Dang, like, you racist, yo.
Nah, it's not really. It's just like, why is it white?
Why is it so beautiful? it seems just like it's too distracting for me.
Yeah. It just doesn't go with the whole color, his whole color scheme and everything.
Yeah, the traditional red, blue, and red, and white eyes.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a bit too much because the white goes from his logo all the way toward his hands and everything. So
to his butt.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nah, I don't know.
I'd like to see like what was the point of that idea? Like, you know, that's the only thing I don't really like about it. You know, I know the game before this one, if I'm not mistaken, was the Spider-Verse, like the game that it had all the different Spider-Men.
Oh, was it? It probably was that.
Yeah, it was one that you could play as. you know, Miles Morales. You could play as
2099 Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It was Miguel. That's when I remember.
O'Hara.
Damn. Well, that's something to look forward to, but I don't even have a PS4, so.
Me neither. So it just, I don't know.
Me either. Xbox all day, son.
Let's just see. I have high hopes for the game, so let's see.
Well, all I'm saying is this: it looks good, and if it's being compared, I'm not sure it's being compared, or maybe we are compared to the Batman games. Those Batman games were great. Then this game should be up to par with that, because all these video game systems have improved for the past like 4 to 5 years since the last Batman game. So imagine that, especially with the popularity of like Spider-Man right now with the Homecoming and all that stuff. You know, it should be a 5-star game easily.
Which, by the way, I was at the AT&T store, like, because I had to deal with something with my phone.
All right.
And
you saw Spider-Man?
They had Spider-Man, the Homecoming, playing, and I forgot, like, this movie's actually really good.
Yeah.
Like, I there were some parts I had forgotten, I just got stuck on watching the movie.
Yeah, so. Tom, that is, I know, you know, especially like myself, you know, I like the Tobey Maguire version of Spider-Man, but the Spider-Man that's right now, you know, this is my opinion, maybe you guys say different or agree, that is the comic book Spider-Man. That is the perfect movie version of Spider-Man, the way he carries himself, the age, the everything, the way he interacts with the villains and superheroes, that's Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, which... When we talk about the superior Spider-Man storyline, that's a major difference in the characters between Dr. Octopus and Peter Parker. But yeah, I agree. What I am looking forward to in this, I guess, ongoing Spider-Man movies is just to see how much the character gets better and better, because more of that stronger superhero, because you saw him as a very vulnerable, like,
mm-hmm.
not really trained, didn't really know what he was doing in that first movie, the Homecoming movie.
Yeah, he was still trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, so he's really young in the movie. And, you know, it'll be good to see, like, you know, future movies that come out, to see how much he grows and, like, how complex the storylines become, because you can have, like, you can have a franchise of Spider-Man of like that run like 10 movies deep at least.
Oh, easily. Especially with his rogues gallery and also with his relationship, you know, issues and stuff, you know.
That's a lot of movies of Spider-Man.
I mean, if they do it right, imagine.
If they do it through high school, college, and he finally becomes whatever he's becoming.
Yeah.
But I think the only time I had a problem was Spider-Man getting that suit from Iron Man, that he has 7,000 ways, abilities, and all kinds of stuff. I was just like, what is going on here? Like, it would have been awesome if, like, later on he gets a suit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, starting off, now we have to compare. Now we have to wait until the next movie and be like, yo, but don't you have that kind of web that could shoot that or something? You get me?
Yeah. Yeah, so, what I don't really like about that, as far as like his like having Iron Man as his like his mentor,
his papa,
is that the character Peter Parker, he's a genius himself.
Like, yeah,
he can come up with his own tech and, like, you know, figure out ways to handle situations without, you know, Iron Man, Tony Stark.
I hope they don't do the same thing they did to Batman. And, like, strictly, like, forget of how, like, intelligent or, like, how his detective skills are so great.
Yeah. No, like...
Because we only saw Batman's detective skills, what that I can remember, was during the Christian Bale, like, trilogy, when he's, like, doing the whole bullet thing, and he's, like, trying to figure out how the bullet went through here and there and the analysis. And we never really got that in the other movies.
Like, I mean, I think most of the movies had it, but it wasn't like the primary thing or mm-hmm. his like his biggest skill. It seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and with Spider-Man and Iron Man, maybe that was just another way for them to get Iron Man in one of the movies.
Well, yeah, Well, that's the problem they have. They have so many characters. They have to figure out how to, like, fit them. It's best to just group them in movies. You know, kind of like what they did Thor and Hulk. It would be interesting to see what other characters come out in the Ant-Man and Wasp movie.
Should be, like, some Avengers popping up in there. Maybe, like, the minor ones.
You know,
maybe even Hawkeye.
Hawkeye, of course.
Yeah. Somebody trying to see them.
But overall, I can see why the storyline of Iron Man and Spider-Man, how they're linked up, how he looks up to him, and he's like a father figure. Apparently, he met Peter Parker when he was younger, and he's been fascinated by him or something. As you know, so I understand that. I kind of wish it was more straight away from Iron Man and more focused on Peter Parker himself.
Yeah, I understand why Iron Man's the main character.
Yeah.
In everything. I understand. But I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in like Justice League or Suicide Squad 2.
Or in the new Joker movie.
Oh, don't even get me started. Ain't nobody trying to watch no Jared Leto. I ain't trying to give him a chance.
Why even have a Joker movie?
I'm so like, yo, don't mix it. Don't make it so complex. Don't make it so hard. Just keep the original Joker and the classic Joker. You get me? Put him in a suit. Like, don't put him in a purple jacket without no t-shirt and show his abs and his tattoos. Like, yo, who is that? Like, what, Endgame Joker?
Ain't nobody don't forget. Him. His Lamborghini.
Yeah, oh, my Minty. God. I thought he was in there with Nicki Minaj or something.
No, apparently he was with that rapper. What's the rapper that he came out in a video?
Oh, Rick Ross?
What's yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was on a boat.
Wouldn't be video. Surprised if that Tekashi 9.
Now, guy. That would make sense.
It would. Say it right, TK. Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I don't know his name. Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Wait, I wanted to make this point earlier when he mentioned his name. Like, everyone's been shitting on Hawkeye this whole, like, series. Or, like, you know, this... In all his movies. But imagine he just turns out, especially in Avengers 4, to be, like, the hero. And, like, the best character from the whole series.
Imagine he kills Bruce Banner, like, in the comic book.
I mean, for that to happen, it would... They better make it make sense for us to be like, oh, Thanos snaps his finger, has the Infinity Gauntlet, and all this stuff, but Hawkeye saves the day? You better prove to us how that works.
Well, it would make a lot of sense because Hawkeye's been trying to get away, and he's been hiding his family this whole time. Mm. And then for Thanos to take away his family, you know, I could see, you know, the greatest comeback. I don't know.
My family. But how?
Yo, with an Infinity Gauntlet arrow in the neck.
so simple.
It's like saying he has an arrow. It's like the whole Batman thing. Batman has a plan for everything. Hawkeye has an arrow for everything. He's got an arrow with an Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, but, isn't it the same for Green Arrow?
Yeah, yo, Green Arrow has an arrow with a little punching glove. So Hawkeye is gonna have an arrow with a little Infinity Gauntlet glove.
Green Arrow actually has a. Like a mini nuclear bomb arrow.
Oh shit!
Yeah, he has some crazy thing. I seen. I think he did that in one of the Justice League episodes too.
Yeah, and everyone was like, "You had that this whole time." But
yeah, let's see how it goes with Hawkeye. I'll be curious for.
I mean, they can't bring Green Arrow out now because then they're just gonna be like, "Yo, he's copying Hawkeye." You know how.
Well, there's I think I heard that the. Trailer for Aquaman and maybe a teaser for Shazam are coming out soon.
I heard June 22nd for one of those.
Captain Marvel too.
Shazam.
Oh, God, I don't come out. Yo, no, but you're isn't right, it funny right. That when there's a teaser coming out for a DC, like DC or Marvel, there's already a teaser coming out for the rival. Oh, Aquaman's coming out. Well, guess what? On Twitter, somebody said that Captain Marvel is going to be coming out too. He's always trying to overdo. You know, do one or the other. I don't care. Give me all the teasers. DC or Marvel, I want to see them all.
Yeah, but I also, like, there's the San Diego Comic-Con, I think, is soon. It's only sometime in the summer. And that's when you get a lot of teasers and news about upcoming movies.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah.
So. The first look to.
I don't know. Yeah, that's what we get all that stuff. The first look.
Doctor Doom.
Yeah, like shot. Oh man, imagine they bring that out. Something like that.
Fantastic Four joins the Spider-Man universe.
Oh. I'm interested. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Give us one more.
Green Goblin finds his son. I don't know.
Harry?
Baywatch is Baywatch. Mo finishes the Cheetos.
Oh, God.
Did you?
Nah.
Well, that's why I was taking so long. I was actually looking for snacks.
Yeah, it was a small
I was going to run to the 7-Eleven, but I was like, nah, that's going to take too long.
Nah, yeah, you always got to have that right snack. I had a little, you know, I was like, there's the Cheeto bags and then there's like the party little mix one. It's like real small. It's like, why even made those?
I hate the party mix.
Yo,
bags,
like, yeah. It was like 8 Cheetos in there. So I ate them slow.
All right, cool, cool. Let's get into this week's or this episode's topic. And, you know, I decided that we should discuss this superior Spider-Man story arc. And the reason why is because there's so many. You know, Spider-Man being so in depth and just well known and popular, there's so many storylines. But this one was different and one of my favorites. So really quickly, you know, if you were to tell someone who didn't know what the story or the main plot is, how would you explain it? Just briefly.
Who wants to take a crack at this? Because I can make it real simple.
Spider-Man dies and comes back. What's up?
Well,
pretty much.
Dr. Doom is dying.
Not Dr. Doom. Not Dr. Doom.
Oh!
Strike one!
And we are now going on break.
Hold on. That's me walking away and closing the door. Dr. Octopus is dying.
Octopus?
Yeah, he finds a way to transfer his conscience to Spider-Man. So technically, Spider-Man dies. So Dr. Octopus is now inside Peter Parker's body, and he possesses all of Spider-Man's powers. And he pretty much becomes Spider-Man, but he does it his own way. That's as simple as I can make it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go into that much detail.
Yeah, that was a lot, yo. What the hell? I'm over here trying to write everything down.
So basically, it's Spider-Man, Dr. Octopus is dying and figures out a way to take over Peter Parker and Spider-Man's body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his body's transferred over, but he still has his memories of Peter Parker somehow still embedded.
Yeah, before he died, Peter Parker found a way to be like, okay, this is happening. I don't remember how he also found out that he was going to be doing that, but he found a way to be like, okay, you're taking over my body and everything, but you're going to share my memories. So you're going to experience my memories like if it was happening to you. So when Uncle Ben died, Dr. Octopus experienced it like if it was his uncle dying. So he experienced every heartbreak, everything that Peter Parker did, but like if it was his own.
Okay,
you know, I have like a story to this. I was in boot camp at the time this was happening. I think it was issue 800, was it? Amazing Spider-Man 800 when he dies, the death of Peter Parker. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of the 100. Either 7 or 8, remember, one of those.
Yeah, I remember telling Jonas like, "Yo, you gotta pick up this issue for me." I found out that it was coming out that summer, but I was in boot camp, and he picked it up for me and everything. And then when I read it, I was like, oh, snap. Because at the end, they're fighting. Peter Parker finds out. And then Peter Parker's Spider-Man is trying to do something. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Octopus automatically thinks like, oh, shoot. He's trying to reverse things. Because Peter Parker goes into Doc's dying body.
Yeah. Yeah. And they switch.
Yeah, they switch. And he thinks that he has he's trying to formulate a plan to get his body back. Which it wasn't that. It's what Mo said. It was just, all right, you know what? You're going to have my body, but you're going to have my memories too.
Yeah,
and I don't care if I die.
He knew he was going to die, but he just wanted to make sure that Dr. Octopus would keep his memories and have it in there, which plays a major part in the series. So the Superior Spider-Man series starts with Dr. Octopus as Peter Parker. And what I found interesting is, like, just the way he handled business. So you have a evil genius who has always been a nemesis of Peter Parker and Spider-Man. And now he's living the life of a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain morals and things that he's just not accustomed to. And I think what I found the most interesting and kind of funny was the fact that, like, he just straight up ditches Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Because he has his memories, and he can see, like, how much Mary Jane has been a major impact in his life, and, like, how much, like, pain has also caused him. So he figures, like, man, I'm not able to be the hero I am because of this woman. So I'm just gonna tell her to, you know, stay away.
And wasn't that before he tried to, like, actually, like, sleep with her?
I think so. Yeah.
She sensed that something was off because
she was like, Parker, wait, that's not right.
Peter Parker and Mary Jane always have issues. So she didn't give him any play. He was like, yo, I don't need to deal with this. Plus, I know everything that you and Peter Parker are going through. F you.
Yeah, so he just gets rid of Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. And there is, like, some sort of love story in this with
the midget.
Yes, which
Anne Marie, doctor,
I believe is a doctor. Yes,
she's like it's either a doctor or a teacher or something.
Wait, who we're talking about? Are we talking about the one that Dr. Octopus is falling in love with?
Yeah,
that's Anna Marie. I forgot what she does, but I remember her name being Anna Marie. And, you know, he finds, because at first his ultimate goal is to erase everything in his mind, including Peter Parker's memories. Mm-hmm. But his ultimate goal is to erase all the weaknesses as well. So as you were saying, Angel, yeah, he was trying to get rid of Mary Jane. And that's when he starts, you know, ditching everybody. But then he starts falling in love with Anna Marie.
Yeah, so you have Dr. Octopus inside of Peter Parker's mind or body.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That was so unexpected. The whole thing, I loved it. I loved how, like Peter Parker died. It's probably my favorite, probably literally my favorite death, superhero.
Yeah, because 2 to 3 issues in, because even before that, is it Spider-Man 700? I don't even know. Peter Parker's dead. He's dead, technically. He's dead.
You know? You mean?
No. He's when Superior Spider-Man started, Peter Parker to us, he died.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he was considered death.
Yeah, but to most people in the, you know, no one thought he died. They thought Dr. Octopus was dead. So you mean?
No, well, yeah.
The true character of Peter Parker was dead, but his body was still around. Was still alive. No one knew that he was dead.
Yeah, but to us, the comic book readers, Spider-Man was Peter Parker was dead. And the way that they did the whole death thing, it was deep. It was cool.
It was legit. Yeah, we like, I was like, I think I teared.
You know, it was done very well. Very well.
Yo. And then he just seeing Dr. Octopus's reaction, pussy, you hear me? Dr. Octopus' reaction at the end when I think they fell from a building. Landed, I don't know, Peter Parker started dying.
They were like holding each other.
And then, yeah, he was like just, and then that's when it hit him. And he was like, no, you could take it back. I don't want it. I don't want your memories. I don't want all of this. Because he sees like how much Peter Parker, like not only did Dr. Octopus and all the other villains put him through, but he sees what he had to like balance out with his family, his loved ones and everything, and how much he was suffering and how much he didn't have a life. He wasn't rich. He didn't have anything, and you know, it hit him hard. It hit Doc hard and stuff like that. So that was pretty. I thought it was crazy. I thought it was deep. It wasn't like Superman just falling from the sky. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, it did hit him hard, but not to the point that he did not want the body. It hit him hard. Like, wow, that's all that stuff you've been through. But I won.
I finally
beat Peter Parker. The all the extra feeding stuff that was towards the end. But at first, he was like, wow, you did go through a lot. Wow, that's pretty sad. But I finally beat Spider-Man.
Yeah, so during the story with the series, you know, he realizes how much great power Spider-Man has. Mm-hmm. Especially when he starts, you know, he figures out that, like, these villains, you know, just like with any other superhero, the way they deal with these villains aren't – for most people, the most logical. So he's like, you know, there's no point of, you know, arresting these villains and for them to just keep escaping.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets pretty brutal with Vulture, you know, when he realizes how much great power Spider-Man really has. And he kind of just, like, beats the shit out of Vulture and I think blinds him. And I guess the other characters, the other villains around notice this and they get freaked out.
Yeah. There was, which one was it? Okay, Vulture was the first one that he blinds. And Scorpion, he straight up breaks his jaw.
That was the first one. Scorpion was the first villain he came across, and he just one punch real
broke
quick.
His jaw, and then he said, "Wait a minute, whoa!" He's been holding back this whole time.
Yeah, he said that,
lets us know, like, wow, Spider-Man is really strong.
Yeah, much more stronger than most people know.
And I don't even think it was like a break. I think he ripped his jaw with one punch.
Like, he just went shattered it.
Yeah, so you get these other villains just see this and freak the fuck out. Like, what's going on? Because, you know, that's another thing. Like, these villains kind of, you know, take advantage of the fact that Spider-Man is, you know, such a good superhero that, like, they know they can, you know, if they do get caught, like, they're just going to go to prison. You know, they're not going to get their ass beat like Superior Spider-Man did.
Where he was laying down the law. There was a corny villain. I forgot who it was, but he wasn't. You know how Batman has like corny villains?
The Tick.
Like, no. You know how Batman has like corny villains, like Batman.
Yeah. Wasn't the guy with like ketchup or something? Like
Condiment Man. Something like that. Well, there was one in Spider-Man that it was a corny villain, and he straight up. There's two of them. They're like partners. And he straight up beat the crap out of one of them. And that's what caused the word to spread that, wait a minute, this Spider-Man is...
It's different.
He's savage. To the point that the partner was like in tears.
Yeah, but another thing he does, he develops like these androids. These little like spider bots.
Yeah.
To be around the city. Just in case things goes down, like, you know, these bots can handle it themselves, or just gives them more eyes to see around the city.
He felt that he's like, Spider-Man took care of this city. He was doing it so wrong. I could do it so much better. This is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so like, he develops...
No, how nobody found out the whole time.
Yeah, things were different because what's he end up doing with... doesn't he open up his own, lab or something, or Peter Parker Labs,
Parker Industries.
Yes, what is it that they develop there or make? Is it weapon? No, it's not weapons, or maybe just like
technology. They develop a technology that takes. So if you're missing an arm or you have a broken leg, they develop like these prosthetic things that are like the technology is like above and beyond. So it's like prosthetics like that. Like,
and because of this, Peter Parker actually becomes like a millionaire. He's like rich.
He becomes like head of everything.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter Parker was the partner with someone, and he was helping this person who opened it. And here comes the superior version of Peter Parker. He's changing everything, and he ends up taking over the whole thing and making it its own.
Yeah, so it's what I like about it. Is that Dr. Octopus like takes full advantage of all these skills and talents that Peter Parker / Spider-Man have, and like tries to make the most of it. You know, he figures out like, man, this guy could be rich.
Mm-hmm.
He can, you know, be unbeatable. He can have a safe city and do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yo, he hooked him up. He even gave him a PhD.
Oh, that's he went back to college.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. He even gave him a doctorate.
That's where he met the little woman.
Yes. That's right. That's hilarious. He was like, man, like, because here, you got to think about it. Like, Dr. Octopus was an older man. You know, we always look at Dr. Octopus, he's like a fat dude.
Yeah, with the bowl cut.
And ugly, like, you know, so like, but he's a genius,
yeah.
A mad genius. So he's given this opportunity that when he's dying, like, let me just take over, younger, stronger, more handsome body and like restart my life.
Yeah.
So he's given like a second life and he's taking full advantage of it and wants to, you know, I believe he wants to be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I need a hero.
But like he there's just certain codes and ethics heroes need to, you know, abide by.
And he's like kind of stepping over because he's doing his thing his own way. And if I'm not mistaken, he also runs into the Avengers.
That's right. At one point.
Didn't he do it like a few times and they can't tell that it's not Peter Parker?
No, yes. They can't. But so, I don't remember. But something did happen that he was kind of like, guys, like, leave me alone. I'm doing my own thing. I don't need you guys.
I don't need that Avengers.
And even Thor was like, something's off with him. But no one thought twice about it.
Yeah. Well, so you have Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man. He's the hero, superior Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But in the background, you have Green Goblin.
Ooh, the Goblin army.
And he's developing, a Goblin army.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And I believe, he's just trying to take over the city or the world or something. But yeah,
same thing villains like to do all the time.
So he's creeping in the background, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gathering. Well, here's the thing. He's made it possible to go around undetected by these spider bots. Because these spider bats, you know, they're all over the place and they can spot certain things and, you know, give signals off where if things aren't going right. But Green Goblin has figured out a way to go undetected. I don't know if it's because he has a different kind of mask or something.
I think he found one of the spider bots and he hacked into it.
Reprogrammed it
that they can't. That it won't detect him, so he's going around the city and no one knows at all. Because these spider bots are superior Spider-Man's extra eyes, and he has them for like villains and everything, and they tell him where everything is. So he wants to be a step ahead of crimes happening before it even happens. So he hacked into one.
Now he's creating this Goblin army, but if I can't remember, was he kidnapping people, or how was he creating this army?
I think he was just like randomly like recruiting people. Randomly recruiting like, you know, random people that no one, like people from the streets. Like poor people from the streets.
I think Hobgoblin had a foot in it at first or something. You're right. I don't remember. And he took over it. Green Goblin took over it after he kills Hobgoblin.
I think so.
Well, another thing too is going back a little, you know, Superior Spider-Man, you know, figures out a way just sets up a way to have like a more secure prison, or is it an island or something where these villains aren't able to easily escape. So he kind of creates his own prison.
Spider, I think he took it from Jonah Jameson, or he did something from Jonah Jameson.
Yes.
And took it and had it.
Yeah, and that's what it was called, right? The Spider Island?
So weird. What are all the other superheroes doing in New York City?
I know, there's just so many, right?
Like, they're not
the crime must be just like hectic, like all over the place. Like, there's just so much shit going on, right? Like, if you think about all the other New York City heroes, you have Spider-Man, you have Daredevil,
Fantastic Four, right?
But I mean, I guess the Avengers are based in New York, aren't the X-Men based in New York too? Like, they're
Long Island.
They're in Westchester, upstate.
But they ended up going out west to like San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, there's like a billion mutants, even though they say there's like a few.
Yeah. So that's right. So yeah, it's funny to think about like New York City with all these heroes, and always being like blown up.
You got
like
the Defenders.
Yeah. But those are like street level guys, I guess, that deal with like mobsters and shit.
They're always around, but when certain things are happening for comic book reasons, they're nowhere to be found. Or they're busy. Or they're in outer space.
Yeah, with their magic suits that they get. Yeah. Okay, so I guess the main story the main fight leads up to, you know, Green Goblin trying to take over the city and But well, at this time too, you still have Peter Parker. You know, Peter Parker's like soul. It seems like, right? It's still around, his soul.
They say memories, but it's so.
It seemed like it was just. It was weird because remember the first three or four issues. Maybe the first two issues. He's nowhere to be seen because remember he's technically dead. And I think it's like a conscience or something of Peter Parker is somewhere inside Dr. Octopus's mind, you know. And the only thing that I didn't like about the whole storyline, that it was maybe like one or two issues and they already like popped that out. I kind of wanted to see like just three, four issues of just Superior Spider-Man doing his thing. And then that came out. I think it was like too soon.
Yeah. But Dr. Octopus doesn't notice this.
It's because... So when Peter Parker, so the memory of Peter Parker was like stored all the way in the back of his brain, how they described it, I don't know. Yeah. And when Peter Parker, you know, came back, he was trying his hardest not to show Dr. Octopus that he's back in his head.
Yes.
And then
yes.
That leads to that like subway scene with Amy Chen, the little girl, Amy Chen.
Because even Peter Parker wasn't aware of that. He wasn't aware of that.
Aware of what?
That he was inside Dr. Octopus's mind.
Yeah, he was.
No. He was. It wasn't part of the original idea. Like that wasn't like his plan. I'm going to transfer my conscience and secretly I'm going to pop out. That happened on its own.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was, oh, wait a minute.
Like, he thought he was dead. He thought he was going to die.
Yeah. And then he was like, I got to find a way. Oh, no. Now he's seeing everything that Dr. Octopus is doing. And he's like, man, I can't control anything. Oh, no. Move away, Mary Jane. No, move away. Don't do this. Do that. And then it sucked because he couldn't do anything. And then I guess he like found a way.
Okay, cool. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about the Green Goblin. All right?
Cool.
My cookies, right?
Guys, if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Dudes Talking Comics. There you'll be able to see our reactions, reviews, and debates on everything from comics, TV shows, and movies. Now let's get back.
And we're back. Guys,
that's Mo taking so long. Look at him. Now he comes in. You know what? I'm out.
And we're back.
Madly. We already finished the whole episode.
Yeah, it's done. We're already moving on.
This is the post-credit scene.
This is Avengers 4 just came out.
Oh, damn. You guys are in a different universe that all this stuff came out?
We're in the superior universe.
Oh.
Hey, also during the story arc, now that you say that, there was a superior vet.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another?
There was a superior Venom.
Superior Dr. Ock.
There was superior Iron Man. Everything after Superior Spider-Man, everybody was superior.
Yeah, it's weird. But one thing I wanted to mention was about Green Goblin. Like Green Goblin, again, like he was in the background for most of this story, and he was noticing things. Like he was one of the few that actually noticed that this Spider-Man wasn't the same Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He read that diary, didn't he? That girl's diary.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. I'm trying to remember how he figured it out, but there's a diary. Was that girl a therapist or something? Or
wasn't she like a teacher's assistant? Or he met her when he was.
Didn't she work in sanitation?
No. he met her in the college when he was trying to, you know, get his PhD and all that stuff. I don't know if she was a student or a teacher's assistant or something around that. That's where he met her in the school, so.
Okay, so he ends up reading this diary that pretty much gives up the fact that the Spider-Man does he know it's Dr. Octopus? Yes, I believe he does. He figures out it's Dr. Octopus based on what he reads. And they they end up battling towards the end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they battle mostly just off of ego to say, you know, who's the smarter evil genius. Mm-hmm. And during that time, you still have that mental battle with the memories or the soul of Peter Parker and Dr. Octopus. Mm-hmm. So do you guys remember what is it exactly that happens towards the end that forces Dr. Octopus to
give it up to Spider-Man?
Give up the body back to Peter Parker.
So there was a scene with the little girl. I forgot what was her name. Something Amy. I don't know. Some Asian girl, I think. But there was a scene. She's tied up in the subway station, and he's contemplating on saving her or going somewhere else. I forgot. He's contemplating, and he's going back and forth, and the time's running out. And then that's when Peter Parker actually reveals himself in his head. And he's like, you got to save her. Like, you know, yes. He couldn't wait no more. And, you know, he saves her. And then when he swings out, he's like, yeah, you're the better Spider-Man. I let you down. I let everybody down and stuff like that. And then the superior Spider-Man became the amazing Spider-Man once again.
So, but pretty much Dr. Octopus realizes that, like, all this power and stuff, like, it takes a special or great person. It
takes a responsibility.
Yes. And he's like, I'm too evil for this shit. So this is too much for me to handle. You know, all these life-changing decisions. So he's just like, you know what? I give up. Like, come take your body back.
But it also affects Peter Parker because he loses Dr. Octopus. He kind of dies.
That's another thing. Like, because they try to figure out a way, or at least Peter Parker does. He's like, we can find a way. And the fact that, like, he still wants to help Dr. Octopus.
Of course he would.
Like,
I mean, that's what makes you a hero, I guess. Like, Batman does the same thing with the Joker. Mm-hmm. You still try to help him. Yep. Everybody does that. All the realness.
Yeah. So she shows some kind of like empathy as far as like feeling bad and wanting to help him. But here's the thing. Okay, this was my point that I wanted to get into because Green Goblin, you know, was one of the only few that knew that it wasn't really Peter or Spider-Man. It was Dr. Octopus. Mm-hmm. And when Peter Parker finally takes control of his body again, Green Goblin's like, he's kind of mocking him. He's like, you know, I know it's not you or you can't do so and so or something. And Peter Parker actually makes, like, in typical Spider-Man fashion, like, you know, roast Green Goblin. Do you know, will you remember what the line was when Green Goblin finally realized that it wasn't Dr. Octopus anymore?
No, what was it?
Well, man, you guys didn't do any research.
Is this like a test or something? Like,
I don't understand.
No, because this was a major part of the story. That's why, because this is when Green Goblin was like, "Holy shit!" And the face he makes is like
a goblin
that's,
face.
That's really when Peter Parker made his you know return. He had said something silly that didn't make any sense, but like not where it was just really stupid.
Wait a minute, you don't remember either?
No, I do.
Oh,
he said that's something is like it's something funny coming from a guy wearing a man purse, and Green Goblin's face was like, holy shit, like that's something Peter Parker would say, like something stupid like that.
Because Spider-Man always has these little quirky jokes that even in the middle of battle, he's always like
he's just roasting you. He's like he's making fun of you. He's like.
And that's when he knew, oh, this is Peter Parker's back.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty interesting. And there's a great like shot of like Green Goblin's face, like shocked, eyes wide open, mouth open.
Yeah, it's some great artwork in that combo.
Yeah, so you know, I had picked this story arc just because it was interesting. You have a villain that took control of a superhero's body, and realizes like what. Great responsibility this person has to uphold and how much power and how much sacrifice and decisions that you have to make to be a hero. And
yeah,
for Dr. Octopus, he realizes that he's not that hero. He's not, he can't,
he's not that great. He can't, although he thinks himself as great because he's a genius, mm-hmm. and you know, he's done so much. But like when it comes to being a hero, only a selected few can take that mantle.
And also he also didn't want to deal with the responsibility of being a hero. He once he got into
Spider-Man, yeah, that's what I just said the last 5 minutes.
But here's the thing, right, funny guy. You know, the whole thing is, you know, he became, you know, Peter Parker, and he wanted to do everything perfectly in his way. And then all these little side things of being a hero, he was like, shit, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. And then, like, going back and forth, you know, trying to save that girl and everything, he was just like, you know, this is just too much. This is just too much. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's what made this story arc so much so different and kind of, like, special and, like, makes you realize that to be the ultimate good guy, the guy that's a symbol of hope and that people look up to, you it's not as easy as it may seem. Because I think for me, what makes Peter Parker, the character Spider-Man, so interesting is that he's always battling between becoming, you know, being a hero and being like a regular person. Like part of him still wants a regular life. And part of him knows that he's given this responsibility to be a hero. So that's what interests me about Spider-Man and why he's probably one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree with that.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I have with that.
There's a couple of things that I just dislike about the Spider-Man storylines is that there's reoccurring like things that go on. So like with the whole Spider-Man dying and, you know, him out of the picture and stuff like that, I thought that was awesome. I thought it was crazy. I thought like, yo, this is the way. If a superhero is going to die, it's like this. And then they bring him back. Okay, that's cool. And then they go into like him coming back. And then Dr. Octopus dying, but then ultimately Dr. Octopus comes back the same way, and then his mind is downloaded. It was so weird. And
yeah, I know what you mean. And, a lot.
The Spider-Man like universe always does that, like with the whole Venom and Carnage, and then okay, let's make more symbiotes. Like damn, and then it goes into like oh, let's make more Spider-Mans, like different kinds of Spider, like.
Yeah, well, it gets to the point where there's just so many, not too many storylines you can go into. But I feel like there's never been really like a Spider-Man version where he's a lot older. Mm-hmm. It seems like all these storylines, like he's young, like he's either in high school or in college or just out of college. Like I would like to know what Peter Parker or Spider-Man's doing when he's like in his 30s or. Even older than that, like how's his life going?
I see a fat man swinging. I don't know.
I also think that's the Spider-Man that we're gonna get in that animated Spider-Verse cartoon.
What kind?
There's an animated older. Spider-Verse cartoon?
Yeah, man, where you been? It's coming out in December. Enter the Spider-Verse.
What?
Yeah, I'll send you the link. I posted the link.
I'll be looking at your shit.
Oh, and he said he listened to our podcast.
Yeah right.
You're probably just listening to say we.
I didn't hear the Spider-Verse part. You guys didn't mention the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, we talked
part.
About it.
The
we
cartoon.
We talked a good 20 minutes on it.
Yo, you could quiz me on that, and I know everything you guys said.
But
but not that. So you failed.
Got
him. New trailer is out, and it's coming out in December. And I think that's an older version of Spider-Man in that universe who's helping him train become Spider-Man. So maybe we will get that. Let's see.
Now, which version of Spider-Man is that? Is that the 616? Well, is there even 616 anymore?
No, it's just Earth. It's Earth Prime. 616 is done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's just called like Earth Prime. That again, that
oh god,
has its own Spider-Man. This isn't Spider-Man from our universe going in there. That universe that Miles Morales in has its own Spider-Man.
There's a whole thing with
well, with, yeah, but like, doesn't he die?
Yeah, well, in the Ultimate Universe, he was Spider-Man, but he was kind of young. He was still
oh, so you're saying
he died, and then Miles Morales took over. In the movie, I have a feeling that that's an older version of Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
Yo, I'm out, man.
You're way out there, bro.
It's either a cartoon or a movie. Which one is it? A cartoon movie?
It's an animated movie.
There's an animated movie coming out in December.
There we go.
I think in that animated movie, it's a cool trailer, too. That Spider-Man, which is from that universe, too, that Miles Morales is in, I think that's like a 30-year-old, an older version of Spider-Man. In the comic book, in the Ultimate Universe, there was an Ultimate Spider-Man, but he was the Spider-Man from high school, maybe even college. That one dies, and then Miles Morales becomes Ultimate Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason I say that is because, you know, he has like a little, like, he's got kind of like a little beard in the trailer.
Spider-Man.
So maybe we'll get that, you know, an older version, more like wiser, who wants to take Miles Morales under his wing and, you know, train him.
Yeah, well, that's why, like,
there should only be one.
The previous podcast, like, I wanted to do like a character review or a analysis or profile of Spider-Man, but there's just so much to talk about him that I would want to get into, but like, because you have the comic book versions, you have the cartoons, you have the video games,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, all the different story arcs. Like, it's a very deep and very complicated and overwhelming character. So I mean, this you know, gives you an idea of like a lot of what Spider-Man goes through or deals with.
Mm-hmm.
Overall,
let me ask you guys a question. Check this out real quick. What considers you a bad superhero?
What do you mean?
When do you cross the line? When is it that another superhero could say, hey, listen, you crossed the line?
When you just do something evil or do something against like the code or what's
well,
right.
What is that? Well, what would be an example
like
of that?
Besides killing someone? Or mind wiping someone?
Oh.
Because we're talking about Superior Spider-Man blinding someone and everything. Does that make him a bad superhero if he only did that? Like, let's say he only broke bones or he only did that. Because it does go against Batman's code.
Well, that's a good question. Because remember back then when we read this comic book, I will always joke around. That's the best Spider-Man. That's like the best Spider-Man. Because he was taking care of all villains and cleaning up the city. So it was like, to me, that was like the best Spider-Man, in my opinion.
Yeah, but like that just goes into all the other like debates, like how far is too far, you know? Like, and who gives you the right to do all these things, you know? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, would you guys consider, hey, listen, you know, he's not a good superhero or something just because he breaks bones or he doesn't kill the person. He just physically harms them to the next
point. He's just a very intimidating guy at that point. You know, that, you know, because like Batman breaks people's bones. He'll drop you off like the first floor because he knows he won't kill you, but he'll break your legs. You know, that's what happens in, what is it, The Dark Knight?
So is that cool? Would you compare that to like a Captain America?
I don't know. Because, like, I'm pretty sure Captain America breaks people's bones when he's fighting them, you know, and they're attacking him. Like, if you think about that scene in the elevator in Winter Soldier, he's like, this is your final warning or your last chance if anyone wants to get out. And, like, he's not just knocking people out. Like, I'm pretty sure he's breaking their bones. And I think what makes the superhero cross that line is just either hurting the innocent or killing someone.
Kind of like the Punisher.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
at what point is it crossing the line? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that if he was, and that's the other thing, the thing with Superior Spider-Man, that the word was spreading that, you know, this guy's like legit, like kicking people's ass. The word spreads. The word spreads. Like, hey, yeah, he, this guy's a great superhero, whatever, but he won't kill no one.
Yeah,
but
I think
he won't, the last villain in New York City was Green Goblin during that issue. Mm-hmm. They pointed out, he was like, he's the only one left that stayed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's another thing. One of the side stories, Superior Spider-Man destroyed the hand. He went and destroyed the hand by himself. And the Kingpin was upset about that. He was like, this isn't your territory. And then he kicked the Kingpin's ass. So the word was spreading. It's like, oh, this guy's like going above and beyond now. And that's what brought more fear into the city.
All right, like, let's get into this discussion then, because I think it's a good one. Let's just stick to Marvel alone.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider Spider-Man to be the number one superhero in the Marvel universe?
Mm-hmm.
Based on, like, think about what a superhero is, too. You know, he's not just he's the strongest or the smartest. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like what he represents and like what he's about.
I would say Captain America. If we're talking in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I would say Superman in DC.
But, yeah. Like, I would say, like, the total package of everything. Because here's a good debate. I was thinking about this. Like, you know, one-on-one, who wins in a fight, Spider-Man or Captain America?
I think Spider-Man. Because we hasn't been made aware that this guy's stronger than what people were made to believe originally.
Yeah,
I mean, we could say the same thing about Cap, no?
Yeah, but he's not. He doesn't have like this unlimited strength. We've seen him at his strongest. We've yet to see Spider-Man at his full potential.
What was his strongest?
Yeah, you're right. TK brings up a good point. Like maybe Captain America's been holding back too. Like,
see, but isn't that like, all right? Look, let me just say one thing. Isn't that annoying?
Yeah, you can't tell.
Holding back. It's like, oh, come on, man. Like,
no, I think it's cool. I think it's interesting. Like, they know how much great power they possess and how dangerous it is.
But we don't know who's the most powerful.
Yeah, but that's what makes it interesting. Like,
they
know they can kill people with their bare hands, and they don't. They choose not to. I think that's what makes you a great superhero, is that you're not just going out around there doing what you know you can do. Like, you know you possess great power, and if you know, there's a term out there that with great power, like,
with great power comes great responsibility.
No, it's not. Well, that's one of them, but there's another one that, like, it's like unlimited power
corrupts. Black power.
Corrupts something. I'll look it up, but like, it's just like, what's if you take control, if you try to do too much with what you have, you're just going to go overboard. Like, just like Superman did in Injustice. Like, he just went overboard. Because he didn't control himself.
But, I mean, he did find out that he killed his own wife. And unborn child. You know what I mean? It's just, I understand your part. I understand everybody's part. It's just like, I don't know, man. It just
makes the characters that much more interesting. Like, I think for me, what makes Spider-Man my number one superhero, my favorite superhero, is that, you know, when it comes down to it, he's the one that you want behind you. Like, you want him, you know, leading the team or protecting you or making the decisions, because he's got some unlimited power that no one really knows about. And if he has to use it, he can use it. That's why, like, these young Spider-Man storylines are cool and stuff, but you haven't seen the best Spider-Man yet.
Will we ever?
I hope so. I hope to see like old man, just like Batman, right? You get to see him when he's a little older, right, and more established. Like, he's gone through so much, and he's developed like the Bat family and all these stories. But I don't think you've ever seen that with Spider-Man.
No, maybe we've seen it like in alternate universes that he's like married and with kids and stuff. But that's like just alternate universes that don't have any stand, mm-hmm. like in House of M.
Yeah. Damn, yo, that was the worst. Oh my god, I felt bad for him. You remember that when he finds out that his family was fake?
Yeah, he had to accept that it was fake. It was tough,
he couldn't accept it.
Yeah. So that
Wolverine had to stop him.
So those were memories that were created, right?
Yeah, Scarlet Witch created. Scarlet Witch gave everyone what they wanted.
Yeah.
Spider-Man down deep down inside wanted a family, wanted to be married, wanted kids, and wanted to live openly without having to worry about his family being attacked by supervillains. So that he was living a perfect life with Aunt May and everything, and he pretty much had to admit he had to find a way within himself to believe that everything was false. Wolverine was like, this isn't true. This isn't real. The only way you snap out of it, if you accept it. Like, damn. Damn.
Yo, it was so emotional. He starts crying and screaming. And he's like, I'm going to kill that girl. He literally says that. I'm going to kill Scarlet Witch.
Jeez. Yeah, maybe we get to see a full-powered Scarlet Witch soon.
Yeah. Because, you know, apparently she's holding back too. Because that's what all superheroes do.
Well, is it... Did she go crazy?
She,
like, what caused her to go crazy?
So she had, it was that whole thing in Genosha when millions of mutants were killed. And I think she had kids that also died. Something happened in Genosha. And she always wanted to have children with Vision. And she, in her mind, she believed that she had children with Vision. Because she was getting crazy or something. And Professor X was like, this is all fake. This is all fake. You can't even have children with a robot and this and that. And she just snapped from there. And that caused her to lose her mind and also kill half of the Avengers. But it had to do with the death of the genocide in Genosha when millions of mutants were killed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a storyline that we should do. But something caused it to snap. And she was creating an alternate reality in her mind. And she was pretty much saying, but this is the reality that I want. This is
what's but what caused her What caused her to say no more mutants?
Well, I thought it was when Quicksilver died, no?
No.
It had nothing to do with that?
Well, Quicksilver found out the X-Men and the Avengers pretty much got together and they were like, she's so dangerous. We're going to have to. These are superheroes. We might have to, like, cut her off, like pretty much, like find a way to like.
Oh yeah, they wanted to.
They wanted to kill her.
Yeah, they wanted to kill her.
And Quicksilver overheard that. Quicksilver went, and Magneto was there too in that meeting, and he kind of like agreed that she's too dangerous because she's making these alternate realities. And Professor X like, you think she could do just that?
Quicksilver, you know, that's interesting.
He went to Scarlet Witch and was like, you have the power to make your own life, yo, and give everybody what they want. And then she made the House of M.
And yeah.
Wolverine found out and blah, 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 blah. And he snapped out of it with other people. And while they were happy, she said no more mutants. And that
Didn't She-Hulk, like, destroy Vision?
I don't.
There's just something about She-Hulk, like, tearing apart someone. I believe it was Vision.
Maybe.
I don't know. We would have to look into that. But I just thought about something, like how this whole scenario has been played out a couple times of like someone being too overpowered and uncontrollable. Yeah. You had it with Scarlet Witch, and you also had it with the Hulk.
And the Sentry.
And Hope.
Yeah.
When the Phoenix was coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
and Cyclops.
You know, so they have to make these decisions, like, for what's good for, like, the world, like, because these people are so unhinged and uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
it's definitely been played out a couple times.
And someone... But did we decide who to go with, Captain America or Spider-Man? Aren't they pretty much, like, the same character, though? It's hard. It's like a
tie. But I would pick Spider-Man. Like I love Captain America and like what he stands for and what he represents. He's like the ultimate good guy. Like he would always make the right decisions for the good of the people and what's right, like ethically. And I feel like Spider-Man would do the same, but I will take like skill wise and intellect, I would give it to Spider-Man just the edge.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm also leaning toward... The only reason why I'm leaning toward Spider-Man is just because of what Cable said when he came from the future into the past. He's like, kid, you don't even
greatest
know...
greatest superhero.
Yeah, he's like, you don't even know how great you are. You are the superhero. He's like, what does that mean? What did he do? You know what I mean?
Now, do you guys also remember during the Avengers versus X-Men story?
It's like Colossus versus...
Yes, versus Spider-Man. Like, it seemed like Spider-Man was about to go ham. Like, go crazy on Colossus, but something happens where they, like, the fight just ends. Because, like, Spider-Man's getting his ass beat.
Daredevil came in and interfered. Yeah. And he was like, we gotta go do something.
Yeah,
He was fighting Colossus and Mystique in hell. And they were both kicking his ass.
Where was that?
Dude, in Avengers versus X-Men. It wasn't Colossus not. It was...
It was Colossus not. Because he was like, I have the strength to...
I'm telling you, it was Colossus and Mystique. It's Avengers versus...
Oh, let's bet. Let's bet. Let's
do it, son. A bag of Cheetos.
Ah, you got going... 50, a dollar bag, not no small bag.
They were going ham on him, but he was like fighting back. I don't know if he was like stalling or doing something. He was getting them to both kind of like fight against him or something.
And Angel, let him know that I'm right.
I'm telling you.
I can't remember.
I had the issue. It was the versus issue. No. And it was the, you know how it was A versus X, the storyline, and then they had the versus issue for the individual fights?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Colossus versus Spider-Man. The cover had Spider-Man all ripped up, holding his arm. And, yo.
So listen, maybe it is that, but there also is that scene in Avengers versus X-Men when Colossus and Mystique have the Phoenix Force, and he's fighting both of them. And he's like,
Yeah. So, that is the cover with that. Yeah. That is the cover with that
and
one.
And they're going back and forth and they're kicking his ass, but he's still fighting. His arm is broken, but he's doing something on purpose to stall for time and stuff. And something happens that I don't know what happens, but he ends up like surviving, but he's halfway dead.
Such a good guy. You know, I believe Spider-Man is the best superhero in Marvel, but I think as superhero for the title, as definition, should be Captain America.
Yeah.
I love Spider-Man. I think he's the best. I think he's cool. I think he's awesome. You know, and I think, you know, he has all his things. And you got, the way you guys said it about him not growing up, I guess that's what makes it, because maybe in the future, I guess that's when Cable was like, yo, in the future, you don't know who you are, but you're the greatest superhero. And I think that's touching on you guys' point about, you know, him not aging and getting to the old man part, or like, you know, his 40s, 50s. And I guess that's when he's considered the greatest superhero ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I would like to see that in like a story arc about that. Like him just... Or maybe it wouldn't be that interesting. I don't know.
I mean, fair enough. You can't go wrong if you pick Captain America or Spider-Man. Like, dude, that's so tough. They pretty much stand for everything, the same thing that they both do. And they're both cool. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Pause right there. Maybe we were all looking up and looking at Spider-Man and Captain America above our heads like, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I was swinging around the city. Imagine.
You know, but who... Yeah, I mean... To me,
is Angel there? Angel?
Hello? Yeah, she should be there. Angel?
God.
Hold on. Let's see. Yeah, he's there. He's probably
muted.
No. Yeah. He's there. I mean, but yeah, like it's like fighting wise, like they both, if they were to fight each other, like I can't see one beating the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just so hard because you can never know because everybody's holding back. Like you said, everybody's holding back.
And again, it could be annoying with that, but I also understand.
Yeah, the mystery and, you know,
It's the same thing with Superman. It's like, damn, like even when he's like going against all these major threats and they're like trying to destroy the universe, he's still holding back. So how powerful is this?
Yeah, man? we know that Superman is the most powerful one.
No, yeah. Or is he?
God, Batman is.
No. I mean, hey, you never know. He always has a plan for everything. You know, where do we fit Hulk in that? Is Hulk always holding back? Or he doesn't even know what holding back is?
I think his power is different because it doesn't work. I think something bad has to happen to like his family or somebody he cares about.
for him to like go full. For,
yeah, I don't see him in a fight and then he goes full Hulk or something. I don't know.
And even if he was to go full Hulk, like let's just say he goes to Worldbreaker Hulk, is that the strongest he'll ever get?
You know, there was another. There's a stronger Hulk than that one. I forgot what was it though.
Which was that?
But I forgot. It was like some crazy, crazy thing.
There's a stronger world than Worldbreaker Hulk? Jesus.
Yeah. Christ.
Let me guess. He stood in the sun for hundreds of millions of years.
He clapped and the whole universe disappeared.
Oh, yeah. He came down as Golden Hulk.
Hey, man. Hop off my Superman.
Oh, boy. But yeah, let's just wrap it up right here. You know, that was a good conversation there. Yeah, you know, Superior Spider-Man, it was, you know, one of my like favorite storylines, you know. And if you was to give it out of 5 stars, what's your rating?
I'll give it 4 stars. 4.5, 4 stars.
That's solid right there. Yeah, you know. I would give it like a 4.5. I wish like the Peter Parker popping up into Dr. Octopus's mind would have been a little bit later in the storyline. It happened a bit too soon. We were still like kind of like dealing with the death of Peter Parker, and then boop, no, he's technically kind of alive.
Yeah, like if we broke it up, then I would have been like, yo, 5 stars for the death of Spider-Man, the death of Peter Parker. That deserves 5 stars.
Oh man.
But overall, the whole story, Superior Spider-Man. Yeah, I'll give it 4 stars. Just because on top of the Superior Spider-Man, we also got Superior Venom. Superior, you know? And it's just, that's the problem with Spider-Man's like comic books. It's just like they go in one good direction. They have one good solid thing going on. But then they want to multiply it every time. And it gets irritating.
They try to milk it.
Just because they're successful with Venom and then Carnage. You know, then they decided to just keep going.
That's a solid point of view right there. So other than that, it's like, you know, we'll wrap it up. You know, you guys know the deal. You know, you can follow us for free over here with the podcast on iTunes. Follow us on our Instagram, Dudes Talking Comics. You know, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know, me and TK will find a way to figure out to get together and get some new content. It's been busy these last 2 to 3 weeks. The cool thing is we got the podcast in this week, so we got 2 uploaded there. And any final thoughts, TK?
That was it. I love the comic book. Can't wait for more storylines.
Nah, for sure. So guys, other than that, take care. We'll always let you guys know when we're gonna go for a new podcast. Just follow us on Instagram, all right? Other than that, Mo, Angel, TK, DTC out.
Wakanda.